Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. It's Wednesday, it's 5:15, and that means it's time for our weekly Tech Talk segment with Straits Times tech contributor Wong Kai-yi. Hi Kai-yi, how are you doing?
Hi Rachel, good, doing well. Forward to phase two that's coming up soon, hopefully. We all can sort of go out and have a meal with each other again.
Yes, yes. I think everyone's looking forward to that news, hopefully, before the end of the month. Let's see what happens. So, Kai, let's start off with Apple. And it's been 14 years of using Intel chips. But Apple's ready for the next phase of its Mac computer line. According to insiders, the company will soon launch computers equipped with its own in-house processors, designed to be faster and more power efficient. What prompted Apple to design their own chips, Kai, and what are some of the advantages of these new chips?
Well, Rachel, so you know, Apple has actually gone through a few iterations of processors, so a few different manufacturers. So they, I mean, many years ago, they actually switched from Motorola processors to PowerPC processors. And in January of 2006, the company switched from PowerPC processors to Intel processors, and that has been a long, long period, 14 years, as you mentioned. So now it looks like they're moving on to the next stage of their product lineup, which is to use ARM-based processors in their Mac lineup. So ARM processors are actually based on the same architecture that your mobile phone processor is based off, and it comes with a lot of benefits. So first off, it's going to be power efficiency. So ARM chip designed to be very power efficient because the underlying architecture is designed to run off small batteries in phones. So they have to be very sort of power efficient, make good use of whatever little power is available for them. And obviously these chips are going to offer much more performance than Intel's chips because obviously Apple is designing in-house. So it has better integration with Mac OS, which is the operating system that the Macs run on. According to the insiders, the test of the new Macs with these new chips have shown actually sizable improvements over the Intel-powered version, specifically in graphics performance and apps using artificial intelligence, and also definitely much more power efficient, which could then also mean thinner and lighter Macs in the future, because if you don't need so much battery power, you don't need such a large battery. And yeah, you can make your laptops lighter and thinner, and well, it just fits into the Apple ethos of making thin, light, and really aesthetic pleasing laptops for people.
So Kai, I mean, if this is more efficient, do you think this will result in, I guess, a domino effect across the industry, and that we could see other computer manufacturers shift away from Intel processors?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So Apple, obviously, it doesn't ship as many laptops as the other manufacturers. So Apple corners about 10% of the PC market. So this change might not be, or rather this shift away from Intel's products might not be such a sort of seismic shift in the industry. But, you know, people consider MacBooks a very premium product, something aspirational. It's an aspirational product for many people. You know, when if the company moves away from Intel for whatever reasons, so it might give other PC makers a penny for their thought, some sort of a reconsidering of their product lineup. And actually, Microsoft, Samsung, and Lenovo have actually debuted laptops with ARM chips in them already. So Microsoft, with its Surface Pro X, is actually running off an ARM chip, and reviews have shown that it is much more power efficient. Although there are some software compatibility issues with, you know, your so-called normal programs that run on normal PCs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that with a little bit of tweaking and finesse here and there, they'll be able to solve that problem.
They'll iron out the bugs. Yeah.
Exactly, iron out the bugs. So it seems that there is a precedent for such things, and it remains to be seen, you know, how other PC manufacturers will see Apple shifts. Maybe they might start thinking, hey, we don't have to abide by Intel's roadmap, because that's one of the considerations that Apple is considering as well, because when Intel releases its processors, Apple has then to follow that roadmap, and it may delay some of their product launches, for example. So having all of these integrated into their manufacturing, you know, from top to bottom, hardware to software, it enables Apple to sort of more have better control over the release cadence of their products.
And speaking of product launches, when will Apple make these announcements, and what else can we expect will be announced in the future?
Mark your calendars for June 22nd. Apple is holding its Yeah, Worldwide Developers Conference on the week of the June 22nd. So at this event, Apple's expected to announce all these things and give developers time to adjust for the new Mac's rollout next year. And this is kind of similar to what Steve Jobs did with the PowerPC Intel transition back 14 years ago. And we also will see, you know, updates to the other operating systems that Apple runs. So iOS, that's for iPhones, iPad OS for the iPads, TV OS, and Watch OS. So lots and lots of updates coming soon. Apple is obviously not slowing down, so keep an eye out.
So just 2 weeks' time, we'll get all the news and all the latest out of Apple on the 22nd.
Oh, the goodies. Oh, the goodies from Apple. That's right.
We're speaking to Straits Times tech contributor Wong Kai-yi. Now, Kai-yi, in a letter to US Congress, computing giant IBM said earlier this week that it will no longer offer facial recognition or analysis software and called for new efforts to pursue justice and racial equality, new CEO Arvind Krishna said. Will they completely stop the development of such facial recognition?
So IBM, the company, will stop offering facial recognition software, and it also opposes any use of such technology for purposes of mass surveillance and racial profiling. So the CEO has come out to say this. And, well, it's quite interesting. It did not explain the timing for its decision, but the CEO told lawmakers that now is the time to begin a national dialogue on whether and how facial recognition technology should be employed by domestic law enforcement agencies. So obviously this is referring to those in the US, but seeing that IBM sells its products the world over, this is a global thing that the company is taking a stand on.
How is this related to what's happening in the US at the moment? Obviously, racial equality is a big discussion and a big issue that's taking place starting in the US and now rippling out globally. Is this announcement from IBM related?
Interesting. Yeah, the timing is obviously quite coincidental and quite interesting. And it also sort of shines a light maybe on the inherent bias that that facial recognition technology has. So many studies have shown that as sort of impartial that people think AI is, which is obviously what such systems run off of, that there was always a sort of maybe inherent bias within the system, because obviously at the end of the day, it's trained on humans and humans develop AI. And for all its sort of methods at trying to erase bias, this some studies have shown that, you know, that the system always has these little one or two sort of ghosts in the machine, shall we say, that may sort of create sort of some sort of bias within the system. And I think maybe IBM is trying to avoid that conundrum when it comes to it. But it's also interesting to note that IBM's facial recognition business actually does not generate significant revenue. So it could be another reason why the company is dropping it and maybe focusing on its other core products. So a person familiar with the matter actually told Reuters the facial recognition product decisions were made over a period of months. So yes, the company will no longer market or sell or update the products, but whatever it has sold to customers, it will support clients as needed.
This is an interesting one, the next topic that we're going to discuss, Kai. And, you know, for our listeners, I'm sure many of them don't know that SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule, which was launched some 2 weeks ago, actually used some technology found in our smartphones. Not to say that our smartphones are going to send us to space anytime soon, but it did play a part in sending the crew capsule to space. Now, such clever use of software actually helps cut down on development costs and helps in troubleshooting. So Kai, share with us, which parts of our phone actually contributed to space flight success?
It's a really interesting topic, and I just wanted to start off with this little anecdote. You know, the Apollo program back in the 60s and 70s, there's this anecdote floating around that the entire processing power of the Apollo program is less than what your smartphone can muster.
That's it's fascinating, so, isn't it? The speed
incredible.
At which this technology has just advanced, it's amazing.
Exactly. So, I mean, well, we're looking at, what, 50 years of electronics advancements. Yeah, your smartphone could basically power the Apollo module that sent astronauts to the moon. So there you go. Your little pocket computer gives you a little bit of perspective on that. So, yes, there have been many sort of smartphone technologies that SpaceX has adopted. And like you mentioned, it is also to do with cost, and it's also to do with troubleshooting. So it benefits everyone, right? The developers are familiar with the software and they can sort of troubleshoot things as and when they appear. So one of the interesting things, if you've seen the images from the launch, you would have seen this giant touchscreen in front of the astronauts, right? Really space age with blue text and everything, really kind of sort of science fiction. It's a huge touchscreen display, kind of similar to those that we find on modern cars or even on like laptops. And actually, that touchscreen user interface uses Chromium, which is Google's open source foundation for its Chrome web browser. It's interesting. Google's open source foundation for its Chrome web browser runs the touchscreen interface on the Crew Dragon. Very interesting. It seems that, you know, it's also to do, like we mentioned earlier, this decision was made based on a sort of cost efficiency perspective. And so what astronauts see, what they tap and swipe with, that's written on HTML and JavaScript, just like millions of other websites.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. We're all using the same technology as astronauts. Is that what you're telling me?
That is pretty much the long and short of it. Yeah. When you tap and swipe in your phone, that kind of astronaut space age stuff, shall we say? And the Chromium based interface also connects to vehicle control software that's written in the C++ programming language, and it runs on the open source Linux operating system. So it's the same system that you can install on your PC or that runs Android, actually.
Great facts, Kai. And before we go, I'm sure you've got a fun tech fact for us to end the segment today.
Yes, I do. So people, when they think of Facebook and the number of users on Facebook, they usually think, oh, you know, Facebook has about 1 billion people. But actually, if you take the number and multiply it by 1.5 times, there are actually now 2.5 billion Facebook users as of December 2019. And as we mentioned earlier...
2.5 billion users? That's what, I mean... 2.5 billion. The global population is what now, Kai? It's over 7 billion. So you're telling me...
We're looking at about 7, yes.
A third of the population, a third of the world's population is on Facebook.
That's about right. Yep, that's about right. Well, we don't have exactly the stats to say out of these 2.5 billion, how many are active users, but, you know, still an incredible number, right? And it just shows how much data Facebook has literally on the world.
That's amazing.
On the world population.
How much of that information is then being used by Facebook for analysis and whatever online purposes, right?
Exactly right. So the next time you see this ad pop up in your Facebook feed about something that you and your friend had just talked about minutes earlier, it's possibly not that Facebook is listening in on the microphone on your phone, but it's just because it knows so much already.
Because it's tapped into 2.5 billion people. Well, there you go. Thank you so much, Kai. Exactly. This has been a Tech Talk with Wong Kai, Straits Times tech contributor. Take care and keep safe, Kai.
Thanks, Rachel. See ya.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.